Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the JNR Basketball Podcast. My name is John. I am joined, as always, by Ronnie. Ronnie, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Do you like the dramatic pauses?
Yeah, I keep waiting for you to say, AKA, you know, whatever you see.
I know. I stopped doing that because all my creative juice is gone. I'm running on empty. I need to have a vacation coming up. I'm looking forward to it. I'll recharge my nonsensical expressions. Yeah,
it's all that Bravada Sports you've been playing, huh?
BravadaSportsbook.com. Yeah, actually, you know what, though? In all fairness, when I looked tonight at some of the games and I compared them to other sites,
yeah,
they had the best odds. So
really?
What does that mean? That means if I want $5, if I bet $5 the Suns are going to win, on some sites, I might win $6. On BravadaSportsbook.com, I would win $6.25, which might seem meaningless, but I'm only betting $5. If you're betting more than that, you know, $10, that's an extra 50 cents. The point is, Ronnie, is that you get better odds, or at least equal odds, on BovadaSportsbook.com. What I have found in my experience.
No, so that's
take
pretty cool.
That to the bank. And
plus the Suns won too, so you definitely would have actually made that extra money too.
I did pull the trigger.
I did pull
the trigger. That extra quarter could have been so helpful.
Yeah. But you bet like quarter bet, so you could have bet like another bet too.
Yeah, I could have.
Yeah.
Trashing my betting strategy. It's normally onesies and twosies, just a couple of bucks. I don't go crazy, but BovadaSportsbook.com has the best odds, I have found. I'm sure that's not always true, because as soon as I say something like factual, someone's going to prove me wrong. But in my sample size, BovadaSportsbook.com has the best odds.
Do you remember watching Vegas Vacation where Chevy Chase, he just said like one quarter left to bet. He was like, what can I do with one quarter? The dealer says, I don't know. Buy a bullet and rent a gun. That's how I imagined you.
It's terrible
when you're betting.
So let's real quick. We're in a fantasy basketball league together, and I don't know if the other members of the league listen to the podcast, so I will tread lightly. But at the start of the season, we all agreed that whoever won would be a winner take all. That was said. No one objected.
We agreed to that. I thought it was just an idea that was thrown out.
That was pitched. And nobody other than – I said, sounds good. And nobody else said anything else other than sending in their money. So to me, that means, yes, we accept your rules. And now, as the season's about to end, someone's like, maybe we should change the rules. And it certainly benefits them. And, you know, here's the thing, though. I agree with him if it wasn't for the fact that he was in first place.
I know, right?
And if he would have said this at the start, when they said winner takes all, and if he would have said, no, how about winner of the regular season, the best record of the regular season takes half, and then the winner of the playoffs takes the other half or something like that, I would have been like, sure, sounds good.
Yeah.
But you can't drop that in like two weeks left before the playoffs. So I don't know if that irked you a little bit. It didn't really irk me. It just kind of made me laugh. It's like, of course, he would benefit from that rule change at the last second. But I don't know.
He did mention to me like 4 weeks ago, roughly, you know, it was like once he was up and rolling, like his team wasn't doing that great, right? Like he was struggling. Well, I say struggle lightly because last year when he was in this league, well, I mean, it was a different setup, you know, but he was just dominating everyone. And so like, he was just going to win no matter what, you know, you couldn't do anything.
Right.
And then this year he's actually like maybe fourth place instead of first the whole entire time, which he is now first again, of course, but
he has moved his way back up to first.
Yeah,
but if he would have pitched that at the start of the season, I would have said, sure, sounds good. But the fact that he did it.
Right.
That'd be like me saying, you know what? I think whoever comes in sixth place in the regular season should win half the money. Oh, look at that. I'm sixth place. That's perfect.
That was my point in bringing that up. Yeah. At the beginning of the season, he was struggling. And then once his team was up and rolling, you know, he got all these good players. And he was like, hey, we should, you know,
should change the rules.
Everyone, whoever scores the most points should get the prize money. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No. So hopefully your fantasy leagues aren't doing some silly stuff like that. But that's happening in ours, and it just made me laugh. Like, I'm not upset about it at all, even though it may sound like I am.
Yeah.
So I apologize if it came off that way. I just thought it was kind of ironic. It's like when I play – yeah, no, I won't give that analogy. But anywho, that's hopefully your fantasy team listeners are doing well, and you're positioning yourself for the playoff run.
Yeah, hey,
Ronnie and I, we're both in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got 10 teams in our league, and Jonathan's fourth, and I'm second, so we're doing pretty good. We're only
I'm fourth, I thought I was sixth.
Well, you were, but you moved up last week.
Who knows? Yeah. Who's to say?
We're one win away from each other.
Yeah, I clinched. I was kind of like you. I'm like, well, you know, everybody's hurt, so I'm not going to care too much. And then I totally forgot this weekend to update my roster. I know, especially with which I assume you're going to talk about at some point, Luca's triple-double streak.
No, I wasn't going to talk about that crap. Well, I don't even have that in my – no, screw that.
I got that. That's one of the first things I want to talk about. So we'll talk about that coming up later. If you're like, well, Luca's 30 or a triple-double streak, I want to hear about that. Stay tuned. It's coming up. But Ronnie, what do you got? Are you doing some news?
Yeah, we're going to do this news a little different. Remember when we used to do the lightning fast news?
I love those days, Ronnie.
So I want to make the
news
a little...
I have to go out and edit out so many of your news stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely irrelevant.
I want to make the news a little faster this time. So this is what I want to do. So I'm going to go over like three different topics. They're kind of similar, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. And I just want you to choose which one you want to hear more about or which one you want to talk about together.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So here we go. So the first thing I got out of these three, choose one. So I got Rudy Gobert gets fined $100,000 for inappropriate gesture towards refs. Doncic reacts to Detroit fans' chants. And NBA denies Knicks' protest of loss to Rockets.
Let's do the Rudy Gobert because we're going to talk about Luka in another capacity in a second. Okay. And I don't really care about the Knicks.
Nice. Yeah. Remember when the Knicks, they put in that thing? So it just got denied. And we were just kind of wondering if it was going to get denied.
We're not going to talk about it, though.
So I know. But yeah, I was just throwing that in. I know. It is weird, right? And I was trying to stay away from
Let's talk about
whatever.
Rudy Gobert and his... I think it was like a Johnny Manziel sort of money thing. Is that
it
what
was,
he did?
Yeah. So yeah, he did it right towards the officials. He did this little money gesture towards them. Am I saying gesture right? Sometimes I want to say gesture.
No, you're saying it terribly wrong. Yeah? I believe it's gesture.
Is it gesture?
He gave me an obscene gesture.
Yeah. Well,
gesture. G-E-S-T-U-R-E. Gesture. We're going to do the
at least I can say
JNR basketball spelling bee on the next episode.
At least I can say Jokic, right?
I can say Jokic.
All right.
I just prefer to say Jokic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get into that later. Anyways, so Rudy Gobert, he got fined $100,000 for directing this inappropriate and unprofessional gesture towards an official, as well as publicly criticizing the officiating. And that was announced Sunday. So that was pretty cool. $100,000, that would suck to lose.
I don't want to lose that at all.
Yeah.
Hopefully Rudy's in a better financial situation than you and I.
Yeah.
I think he is.
It was a loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was during his sixth foul. So he kind of, you know, it's one of those things where like, well, I'm out of the game. I can do whatever I want. And then it cost him $100,000.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That's a lot of money. And I don't know. Just interesting that Rudy out of all players did that. You know, I didn't think he was that type, you know. Plus he's French, you know.
This was the game
so.
That went to overtime, right? This was the overtime loss to
was
the
it?
Cavs?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about overtime.
Yeah. Here. I believe it was. I did place a little bet on this game and I did pick the Timberwolves. So
okay.
I was sad to see that. Yes. I know we often talk about conspiracy theories, so I want to talk about it because it's kind of related to this here, is that several general managers and coaches think that the NBA discussed how they were going to change officiating during the All-Star break, and suddenly they're calling these games a lot differently. The score is getting a lot lower, and players and coaches are pissed. So an example that they have, before the All-Star break, the average points scored by a team was, do you want to take a guess?
It was good. I was looking at these games that were like 140 points, but I don't think it was that high. I think the average is probably like 120.
115 was the average. On Friday night, there were 16 teams that played. 8 of the 16 teams, so half the teams, did not score over 100 points.
Wow.
So a full 15 points below the average, more than that, right? Because they were less than 100 points. And that is quite the statistical anomaly, which makes you wonder what's going on. So people are thinking that Adam Silver picked up the phone, made a call, and is getting these games, letting contact happen. And letting these fouls sort of happen without them being called to keep the game's lower points, to make them essentially closer games. because that's what fans want to see. They don't care if it's 130 to 129. They just want a close game, and Adam Silver made the call to make that happen. What do you think about that conspiracy theory?
I don't think that the refs could prevent games from being a higher scoring game, because I feel like if
they can.
I don't know. I mean, so they're saying that because they're not calling fouls, that they're not getting free throw attempts?
They're not calling fouls, meaning that's part of it, right? And if you're allowing more contact, then the shots are going to be harder to land because you're getting hit and pushed and bumped as you're attempting the shot. So you're not getting the three throw. You're not getting, you know, the same open shots that you were, because players adjust pretty quickly when a game's being called a certain way. So that's the theory. I don't know if I believe it. It is odd that suddenly there's this huge drop in points per game, but sometimes that happens.
I was watching a game last night. It was a 76ers versus Knicks. It ended up being 79-73. The Sixers won, but that was a really low scoring game right there.
79-73. That's a perfect example.
So, but I didn't see anything weird from the foul calls or anything. I saw a lot of like really bad shots by the players. It just looked, I was like, dang, what's going on? Is there an earthquake in the building? Like, they were missing badly. You know, they weren't missing by a little. They were like, it was horrible. But I guess that makes sense if they're being bumped and everything on shots. But I wasn't seeing too many complaints either, too, from the players after that. So I don't know. I don't believe it. I think the players are just sucking all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's more like
from what I watched, you know.
Yeah. All right, Ronnie, what's next?
All right. So, next three. Lillard is lonely in Milwaukee, says he doesn't have much of a life. Emma Stone won Best Actress and is a Suns fan. And then two-time All-Star Isaiah Thomas to join Jazz's G League. This is my who cares section. Like, so which one do you want to talk about?
Do we have to talk about any of those? Can we just skip all of them?
If you want to. You don't want to talk about Isaiah Thomas?
Let's quickly let's do Emma Stone, because she just won the Oscar for Best Actress. This is her second Oscar. Ronnie and I both worked at a movie theater in our younger days, so I know I still have an affinity towards movies. I don't know if you do as well, but I watch the Oscars every year. I did my Oscar bracket. Emma Stone, who was everyone's crush in the movie Superbad, has won two Oscars, which is pretty freaking cool.
You watch the Oscars?
Yeah, heck yeah.
No, I don't watch that anymore. But yeah, so Emma Stone, she was born in Scottsdale, Arizona in 1988. Did you know that? So she's a
Phoenician.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I didn't know that. She went to Xavier College. Ooh.
Xavier College? No, it's Xavier Prep, right?
Xavier College Preparatory.
Yeah, Xavier Prep. Okay, it's a high school.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know she was an Arizona native and everything like that. So when I saw that she won and everything, I was like, oh, that's cool. She's like, someone from Arizona won, and then she's wearing a Suns hat, you know, just, you know, showing her support for the Suns fans. I just thought that was pretty cool. I've always been a fan of hers, but now I'm like a real big fan of hers. You know, I have a new appreciation for her. So yeah, I thought that was cool. But yeah, just wanted to throw that in there. I'm surprised you chose that one out of the other two.
No, I mean, I don't care about Damian Lillard. Yeah. Boo-hoo. You're sad because you demanded a trade. And now you're in a new city and you don't know anybody. That's life, man.
Yeah, right.
All right, what's the next three, Ronnie? Let's hear it.
All right, so Trae Young is open to facing Caitlin Clark in a three-point contest. Zion says, if I'm an all-star, then I'll be in the next dunk top competition. And then the Sixers will honor Allen Iverson with sculpture in April. So I had two all-star things and then all-star topics. And then I was like, Allen Iverson's getting a sculpture. So I wonder which one Jonathan would choose out of these. What one would you be interested in?
I'm most interested in Zion, because really? I do think he would be quite a force in the dunk contest, because he's just a big, strong dude. And that would be kind of cool. That would be like, what is it? Blake Griffin, who jumped over a car. Zion could pull off something like that, because he's not jumping over Shaq for sure, but he could like, I don't know. I would like to see Zion in a dunk contest. Well, that's the most intriguing to me.
It brought me back to the days where, remember when he was injured and he was practicing those 360 dunks too? So, I mean,
and those windmill dunks? Yeah, he does some cool stuff.
He is capable of doing some good ones. And then I was thinking, like, what would bring the dunk competition back? Like, what would be like the biggest dunk that you could do? And for Zion, I was thinking, what if in a dunk competition, like, he did such a monster dunk that he broke the backboard? I think that would bring it back. That would be just like iconic, and you can make a shoe out of that, and it was just like, that would be the one, the dunk, you know?
I just think it's really hard to break a backboard. And if the backboard did break on one of his dunks, mm-hmm. it would just be rigged to break.
Yeah, you would think so,
and
right?
That's not fun. Yeah, that's not fun if that happens.
But I mean, can you imagine like the crowd's reaction to, you know, like especially if it's like some big one, like a windmill one, you know, and then he just, or, you know, the 360 one, and he just rips it off of there. That'd be so cool. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see cool. that. And yeah, he's pretty like athletic.
That. Yeah.
All right. So this is my last four. My last three. Sorry. So LeBron becomes first player in NBA history to reach 40,000 points. The Hornets expect to hire Nets executive Jeff Peterson to run operations, and Monty rips refs in a no call versus the Knicks.
So I think we've beat the refs to death here. Let's honor LeBron James becoming the first player to ever score 40,000 points.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So one of the stats I found with this one too is this shows how many games played. So LeBron James, he played 1,475 games to reach this, right? And then Kareem, he's second. Then it took 1,560 games. So like almost 100 games less LeBron reached that. And then there's Karl Malone. He's about the same, 1,476. Kobe Bryant, 1,346. So, but he's a little lower in the list, of course. And then Michael Jordan is fifth on the list, but he only played 1,072 games. So just looking at that, I'm like, I wonder how many points like Michael Jordan would have scored if he played the same amount of games as LeBron James did, you know, 1,475. Yeah. You look at these things and you always kind of wonder and you start talking about it and you're like, who's the best? You know, is LeBron still the best? Because Michael Jordan, look how high he is on the list. He's number five and he did like 400 games less than he did. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to look at that.
Do you know how long LeBron James's streak of scoring 10 plus points in a regular season? Do you know how many games in a row he's done that?
Didn't he just recently score a game that was less than... Oh, I might be thinking of Steph Curry. Okay, so I'm going to say it's probably like 1,475.
Not quite that. He has scored 10-plus games in... 10-plus points. Gosh, I can't read. He has scored 10-plus points in the last 1,208 games.
Oh, that was pretty close.
Which is longer than Shaquille O'Neal's entire career.
Dang. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's a pretty ridiculous stat because, like, Shaq's career from 92 to 2011, he had a very long, he had a Hall of Fame career, and LeBron has a streak of 10 plus points going. That's longer than that. That's like impossible to like fathom. It's just insane. I mean, he's a freak.
I remember seeing Kareem's stat, you know, when I was a kid, you know, growing up, and I was like, oh my God, he has like 39,000 points. Look how far he is compared to the other players. You know, I was like, yeah, no one's ever going to be able to catch that. And I just didn't understand that. And then here comes LeBron, you know, 20 years later, he's still in the league. And just, I mean, yeah, his reliability, and I don't know what he does to like keep his body healthy, but man, if he could pass that on to the other players in the league, that'd be amazing. But and then if you are LeBron, like, do you want to pass that knowledge on? Do you want to? You just want to keep your stats if you're LeBron?
Well,
because
some of it's
LeBron,
just in his genes, right? There's nothing you can
to
pass on. I mean, I guess he passed it on to Bronny and his kids in that sense. But I mean, he's just an anomaly. And you know, like you said, I don't think anyone will ever catch LeBron. But who knows?
Right. That's what you said with Kareem. But in our lifetime, we've seen it. Yeah, kind of crazy. So congratulations, LeBron.
Do you think the player, let's say they're a hypothetical player that will pass LeBron's all-time scoring record and score 40,000 plus points, do you think that player is already in the NBA or do you think that player is not yet in the NBA?
I think you have to think about someone who's built like a LeBron. You know, he has a certain body type. He's not insanely tall like Wembanyama. I don't feel like he's going to have a long... I don't know. He doesn't have that body type that's going to last very long, you know? I think of people like Yao Ming, you know, and Shaquille O'Neal. Like, yeah, they had amazing careers, but they didn't play very long because they're just so big and everything. And I don't know. I can't think of a player right now that's good enough with that similar body type.
Okay.
Are you thinking of someone? Luka.
No, Luka is the first one that came to mind because you're right about his body type. I think Luka's a little bit too big. But
Luka is a good example, though. No, because Luka has that style, though, that he's, you know what, and Jokic too.
Luka can score
because they
Jokic is too big.
Well, their styles, though, they just they don't really jump high. They because you're jumping low, you're putting less weight on your body to like fall down on the ground and like destroy your knees and your ankles and everything like that. There's just less of a chance of injury. Those guys have played for the most part for most of their careers. You know, they haven't been out for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's just because of their style of play. They kind of like bump into the players and move them out of the way, but they don't do crazy dunks like Dwayne Wade, you know, like he's just like crazy all over the place and he had some big injuries too. I'm thinking of like more like Derrick Rose too. He's just such a hard cutter and everything. Allen Iverson wasn't in the league there that long. I don't know. Just different styles. Okay.
So something that I thought you would appreciate, this is on Bovada Sportsbook. They have a special right now, the NBA special. It's called the Ben Simmons special. And it is, where will Ben Simmons sign his next contract if bought out by the Brooklyn Nets? And it lists five teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Golden State Warriors, the Raptors, the Kings, and the Spurs. So if his contract is bought out, and I guess I haven't seen this in the news, they're talking about potentially just buying him out and sending him on his way, like this could happen any day now. If that were to happen, which of those teams jumps out to you as, yeah, this team would probably sign him?
You know, the one that jumped out was the Spurs, but...
The Spurs, really?
I don't know, like, why would any team sign this one? That's the only one that I feel like needs it because they're last place, so they might be desperate enough to actually sign him. But why would anyone sign him when he hasn't played? Did you know he's injured again and out for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just insane. He just hardly plays, so why would you want that on your team? He has his back irritation again, you know, so just like you have to stay away from him. I wouldn't place a bet on any of those teams because it's just there's no way. Why would any team touch him?
All right.
And you have to spend how much money to get him, too? Like, how much money the Nets spend to get him? And he's played 10 games for them.
He's not going to get a big contract again, right? He's going to get, like, the veteran league minimum. And at that point, it's like, yeah, maybe we'll take a flyer on him and then maybe get some meaningful minutes out of him. But I just thought it was funny when it was the Ben Simmons special and it's like, hey, which team is he going to go to? This bum.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want him in your locker room either, you know, that locker room presence that
no,
he brings to. You
not
just,
at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, since we're talking about it, you want me to go over injuries real quick?
Sure, if you got a couple.
Oh, yeah. Alperen Sengun, he got injured. He's out for the year. Well, okay, you know what? I'm jumping to conclusions because he got wheeled off in a wheelchair off the court. But I'm pretty sure that he's going to be out for the remainder of the year just because of the wheelchairs to stuff. But I could be wrong. But that's a big hit for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
He was like he scored 75 fantasy points for someone in our league, by the way, too. He's just
That was against me. That's when I decided I'm not really going to care this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, where is this guy coming from? So,
but not that it matters. The Rockets aren't making the playoffs or the play-in game.
Yeah.
They're not contenders.
That's why I picked up Jacques Landale, too, because he's going to take over for him. And I just feel like, you know, he has nothing to lose. He's going to play all the minutes. So I'm going to put him on my fantasy team. Anyways, Alonzo Ball said he's begun cutting and sprinting and jumping. So that's kind of interesting. I don't think they're going to play him this year, but maybe he'll be ready for next year for the Chicago Bulls. That'd be nice.
You know, there's him and Ben Simmons and like some of these other often injured guys, they all need to just be on the same team. And then it'd just be hilarious because it becomes just like these G Leaguers playing against NBA teams.
That'd be horrible if they were on the same team. Oh,
yeah. They should be.
And then Benedict Mathurin.
John Morant on that team.
Yeah. Benedict Mathurin, he's out for the season-ending injury. This is a...
I don't even know who that is. Benedict Mathurin? That sounds like a movie star from like Benedict Cumberbatch's half-brother.
He was his up-and-coming guy. So he's from the Indiana Pacers. He went under... this was to repair his shoulder. His torn labrum in his right shoulder. So... It sucks because like he was like the sixth man a year, but then he became the starter when they traded what's his name away from the Indiana Pacers. He became like the man there. So, Buddy Hield traded him away, and so then this guy was like, okay, well Benedict was like the sixth man, but then he moved up to like the starting position, but now he's out. So
now
that was a
done.
Poor trade by them. Karl-Anthony Towns is out with a knee injury. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah, that's a big one.
Had that one. That's all I got on that. Russell Westbrook out with a hand injury.
This is the Clippers. This always happens to the Clippers, right? Starts with one injury, then it's going to be a bunch. Just we're like less than 20 games away from the postseason. The Clippers are falling apart. I'm calling it right now, Ronnie.
All right, and then there's Scotty Barnes. He had successful surgery on his hand, but he's out for the remainder of the year. You know, it's a short year left, so. But that's all I got for injuries.
Raptors are not going anywhere either.
Yeah.
So, again, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that one is.
Probably best to shut him down and not have him get a serious injury.
But he's a decent player, so it's, yeah, too bad.
Oh, he's a great player. Yeah, for sure.
Some good news, though.
For sure.
Chris Paul, he's coming back. Or he actually came back, and he's doing pretty good for the team. Seems like the Warriors are doing okay with him. You know, they won about half their games.
10th place, baby.
Yeah, so they're stringing some wins back again. Not like they used to, but yeah, they're doing okay. They might hold their position right now, so we'll see.
That's all they need to do is hold. Yeah, they have a pretty big lead above the Rockets, who are 11th. So
yeah,
that's all you need to do.
Embiid says he's hopeful to return this season. He says, if I feel good, I'm playing. So we'll see if we see him again.
And then Tyrese Maxey was just cleared concussion protocol, so yes, he should be back soon if he's not already back.
And Devin Booker just came back tonight, too, so that was good to see. He was out with an ankle injury. Oh, perfect. And then the Miami Heat, they signed Patty Mills. I kind of like that sign. I mean, Patty Mills is an old player, you know, but I still think that, you know, the Heat could use anything right now. So, we'll see how that works out. And then Olynyk for the Raptors, he signed a two-year deal with them for $26 million, so good for him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good for him indeed.
Yeah, but that's all I got for injuries, signs, trades, whatever you call that segment.
Whatever we call it. Yeah, signs, ways, and trades.
Yeah.
And injuries.
And injuries.
So earlier in the year, we talked about the Pistons and their just absolute terrible basketball play.
Oh, geez.
They're still terrible.
What?
They have won 11 games this year.
But they have Monty Williams.
We joked that the Lions were going to win more games than the Pistons this year. And the Lions won 12 games in the regular season. They won two more in the playoffs. So the Lions won 14 games last year. Do you think the Pistons are going to be able to win four more games to beat the Lions' total number of wins?
I hate you. Yeah, of course they can. So if you remember, once Monty Williams was with the Suns, now this is when they had Booker and Ayton, right?
Ricky Rubio probably back then too.
Yeah, we were last place the year before, and then Monty Williams came in, and he was under the team for almost a good year. And then towards the end of the year, we started winning some games. We were in the bubble, and we won out. We won, what, like six games in a row, I think it was? But then we still didn't make the playoffs and whatever to that. But I'm seeing some wins from Detroit all of a sudden. So they won the night before. I'm saying we, like it's my team. It is kind of my team. But they won on the 7th against the Nets. They lost against the Mavericks recently, but that was, you know, that's a tough one. But then they just won tonight against the Hornets. So they're stringing some wins together.
They beat the Hornets. Oh my gosh. Let me alert everybody. Well,
okay, they're playing against the Raptors next. So they have a chance there.
Okay, that's a bad
team. Heat, I don't know how. The Heat are middle of the pack. The Heat. Pacers have an injury to playing them. The Wizards are coming up. Grizzlies, Hawks. They could do this. 76ers, depending on how their health is at the end of the year. The Spurs, I don't know. They're looking pretty good right now, though. I think they can.
It's unfortunate. You know, I love that Bovada had the Ben Simmons special. I would love to see specials like that. Like Lions or Pistons. Will the Pistons catch the Lions in total games? And you pick that. Because that's just the kind of nonsense that I want and I need to see. But alas, they don't. So that's my recommendation for them to do more silly stuff. The first team has clinched their playoff spot, the Boston Celtics, who are 49-14.
Yay. Good job, Celtics.
They have clinched a playoff spot, which is pretty darn cool for them. So that's the same, almost the same as the Lions. The Lions won 14 games. Will the Pistons win as many games as the Celtics lose? And I don't think they will.
Yeah, they will. Come on. They're the Pistons and they have Monty Williams. Yeah, they're going to end up with the record.
You just went through this whole spiel and nobody listened because nobody cared.
They're going to win at least 5 games. Their record is going to be at least over 15. Well, there'll be 16 wins at the end of the season.
16 wins is what Ronnie is saying for the Detroit Pistons.
I'm saying at least over. I think they'll probably have like 20 wins.
You're taking over?
Yeah.
I will take the under on 20 all day long.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't bet on that, but I'm saying
what's your over-under? Give me a number. 18 and a half?
I would do over 15. I would be like right at 16.
So let's say 16 and a half. You're taking the over?
16 and a half. How about 15 and a half and I'll take the over?
I mean, I would take the over under on 16 and a half.
Oh, so you believe in the Pistons too?
No, I don't. I just want an extra point to help make sure that I win because yeah, uh-huh. I don't have
because
it
because you're
there.
Scared because you know everything I said was true. They go lower then.
Luka Doncic is killing the NBA. He has had 6 consecutive triple doubles. 5 of them being 30-point-plus triple-doubles. That is insane. He is playing fantastic basketball. Unfortunately for the Mavericks, it is not resulting in wins. I think you texted me they're 2-5 since the All-Star break or something like
that.
Yeah,
they were, but they do have 3 wins since that text. 3 wins in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, so 7th on the Heat, they won. The 9th, they beat the Pistons, and tonight they beat the Bulls. So they have 3 wins.
Okay.
Yep.
So they went on a little bit of a run there.
Yeah.
But here's his – I mean, if you look at his stat line, it's absolutely insane what he's been able to do recently.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about that before. So does that put him in the MVP conversation for you? I still think you're probably a no because you don't like him. But.
I mean, God, just – no, he can't be an MVP because no. I mean, yes, but no.
This is compelling podcasting, Ronnie. Listening to you have some weird.
You can't deny
breakdown.
His stats. His stats are insane, but I just hate his style of play, and I don't think he deserves to win an MVP because of how he plays, because he cries about every single call. But when you look at the numbers, yes, he deserves to be in the conversation.
So I watched a documentary on Netflix today about the Redeem Team, and it was actually a really good watch. Have you seen it by chance?
What is the Redeem Team? Who is that?
What is the Redeem Team? This is the 2008 Olympic men's basketball team, and they're called the Redeem Team after failing to secure the gold medal in 2024. They got the bronze after losing to, I want to say, Greece? Argentina. Argentina won the gold that year. And that team, it's crazy because when you look at the team, it's like obviously a very talented roster. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. But the team was super young. This was like Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. This is like they were like 20 years old, fresh out of the rookie season. So that was absolutely crazy to me. Kobe Bryant was not on this roster, which I didn't know.
Wasn't the year before the year when like a bunch of players didn't know if they really wanted to go? Like this is what changed everything, it seems like, when the NBA started changing, you know, like it was like too cool to go to that, you know. It was like, no, we don't need to go to that. We're just going to win no matter what. Like it sucks to go. It's stupid,
pretty much. Because when you look at like the 2000, the Sydney team in 2000, there's some names on there that's like Vin Baker. I don't know who that is.
I remember him, but he wasn't that great.
Allen Houston, Antonio McDice, Alonzo Mourning.
Those are great names.
Those are fine basketball players, but they won the gold medal. So I think we got complacent. And then in 2024, Athens, I guess several players dropped out because this was the first Olympics after, you know, September 11th. And some players were, you know, a little bit concerned about traveling overseas. And we kind of got embarrassed in some of these games. So the next year, the 2008 year in Beijing, became what's known as the Redeem Team. And that's where they got together, kind of like what's going on now with the Olympic basketball, where they said, hey, we are not going to lose again. We need to put together a team. And they had a chance to, you know, they had the FIBA in 2006 and they didn't win that. And they actually kind of went out and recruited Kobe Bryant to get some let's call it toughness to this team. Mm-hmm. And he came and joined the team, and it was a really good watch. I enjoyed it a lot. So if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. But what's interesting is that, you know, Spain was who we won the gold medal game, and Pau Gasol was on the Lakers at that time, and him and Kobe were really, really close. And you've probably seen the clip where he said, "I'm going to run right through Pau Gasol," like the very first play of the game. And he did. He just trucked him on a screen to send a message. And they went undefeated during this Olympic run and really kind of reclaimed the United States dominance. And that's why they became known as the Redeem Team. So they redeemed us losing the gold medal in that sense. So looking at, let's see.
That's cool, but I just don't care about that team.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's
team.
Only because of like the original Team USA, the Dream Team, you know, it's just like in comparison, like every other team has sucked since then, you know.
I disagree. I think
no way.
You know, the 2008 team, looking at the 2012 team with Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, I mean, that's a solid team.
Yeah,
did
but
we when did we not win?
The big three.
Did we win in Rio?
The big three was like Jordan, Bird, and Magic Johnson. It was just like, you can't beat those three guys.
So you think the original Dream Team was better, was the best that we fielded? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So yeah, just in comparison, that's why
I kind of disagree.
I kind of want to watch your story, but like everyone kind of started turning douchey around that time, you know. So I don't like Kobe. I don't really like him. I know a lot of people like him, but I don't.
Well, that's what was interesting to me, because Kobe is a very selfish player.
Yeah.
I think we can look at his career and say that. But for Team USA, he was not, at least for the Redeem Team. I don't know what he was the next time they went to the Olympics. But he played team basketball, and he talked about team basketball. And you always hear those Kobe stories. And there was another one in this where all of the players except for Kobe went there. They're practicing in Las Vegas. They went out to a club one night, and they were coming back to the hotel at like 5 a.m. in the morning,
yeah,
you know, completely exhausted. And Kobe is in the lobby at that time heading to the gym.
Isn't
and
that
just
crazy?
Happened to catch them all. And it's just like, that was like the turning point, according to the documentary, on all those players, is like, you know, we're out partying and he's in the gym before any of us are even going to sleep yet. And, you know, then the next day I went down to the gym, and then so-and-so joined us. And then by the time, you know, a week later, all of us are in the gym at 5 a.m. having a team breakfast before practice, and really kind of built that team. So, I mean, I don't know how true any of that is, but it was interesting to watch. And I do think, and I'm probably going to get a ton of crap for this, I do think the Redeem Team is better than the original Dream Team, simply because the level of competition was so different. The men's basketball, the Dream Team, they played nobodies, and the Redeem Team, they're playing actual NBA players. So I do think that they're more talented, and I do think head-to-head, the Redeem Team would beat the Dream Team.
I could respect your reasoning for that, even though I don't. Yeah, I understand why you're going to get a bunch of crap.
I don't
crap.
Agree it.
You know, I could definitely understand why you're going to get a bunch of crap for it. But yeah, I do respect that reasoning. That's a cool little thing. Because yeah, they are actually playing decent NBA players, just like you said, you know. But yeah, before the original Dream Team, there was no one. They're not playing anyone good out there. We weren't this melting pot as the NBA is now, you know. So yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. I like that.
The last thing I wanted to talk about was the Kobe Bryant statue. Have you seen the headline related to the typos in the statue?
No, I didn't know those typos.
Oh my goodness. So they revealed the Kobe Bryant statue, and at the base they have the box score of that game where he scored 81 points.
Yeah.
And there are multiple typos within that. They spelled decision wrong. They spelled the player's name wrong. I think there's a total of three typos in there, which just is like, come on. Yeah, exactly. Come on. What are you guys doing? How do you not have a proofreader for something like that?
So I know.
That's a pretty embarrassing look. And I don't know if they're going to fix it or not. They have to after it gets published, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can't be that hard, right? You just kind of like melt it down and just like, you know, restamp it, right?
With it's not the full statue. It's just like the little square. I don't even know if you need to do anything, right? I think
maybe
it's a lot simpler
it.
Than that. Yeah, and you take that away and you fix it or something, but that's just – that would – I mean, it's not as bad as like putting Kobe's wrong number. That would be even worse, but it's still just like, really? How did you manage to mess that up so badly?
Yeah,
and
really.
They did.
That's interesting. No, I didn't really even hear about that. Yeah, so embarrassing. Especially when it is. Kobe Bryant. He's like one of the best Lakers ever, too, you know, and with the way he passed away and everything. And then you're going to misspell three things on this plaque. Oh, come on. That's just, that's rude. Bad.
Do you watch college basketball at all, Ronnie?
No, I hate it.
Do you watch March Madness at all, Ronnie?
No. I don't watch college at all. I don't care for it.
You don't even do like brackets? I don't watch college basketball. I'll watch maybe some clips of players as the draft leads up, but I always fill out a March Madness bracket. You don't even do that?
Sometimes I do, but I think it already started now and I missed my chance to do a bracket, right?
Absolutely not. It hasn't even picked the teams that are going to be in the bracket.
Oh, really?
Yet.
Okay. I thought March Madness
started. March 17th is Selection Sunday, and then the games start March 21st. So once they do Selection Sunday, check out Bovada and see what the odds are going to be for those different teams. I always am tempted to paste like one of the 16 versus ones because it's happened only, I think, one or two times. But man, oh man, those have got to be some sweet, sweet odds. So,
can you fill out a bracket on Bovada?
I don't know. So we'll have to come back on March 17th and see.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll see if they release it. They should.
I mean, if they're not asking for my advice by any means, but if they were, I would say, yeah, you should do a March Madness bracket challenge.
Yeah, because you've seen those other ones where they do, like, if you fill out a perfect bracket, then you win $1 million, you know? So, yeah, Bravada should get into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Ronnie. Those are only stories that I had. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about on the basketball world?
I don't have too much, but I just have a couple of stats I came across I found interesting. So Domantas Sabonis, since January 1st, he's first in rebounds, first in assists, first in double-doubles, and first in triple-doubles. I thought that was kind of crazy.
First in our hearts.
So he's averaging 21 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists in each game. He's 60% on shooting, too. So this guy, man, how about those Kings, right? I'd love to have him on my team.
Kings.
And it's, you know, all these foreigners, right? Like, there's him, there's Jokic, there's Doncic. They're just tearing up our league.
Doncic.
Except
for... And that's why Olympic basketball is so much harder.
Well, but then I came across this stat with James Harden, right? He's the second player in NBA history to record a triple-double without attempting a two-pointer. I was like, come on. Are you serious?
So it's just threes and three throws?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he didn't even attempt a two. Isn't that insane?
Didn't even attempt a two. Wow, that is insane.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, crazy. So
of course it's James Harden. That's like the weirdest stat
second
that he
player,
would actually get. Yeah.
The first was Steve Blake in 2014. Whoever that guy is.
Whoever that guy is. Yeah.
I don't remember that one. But yeah, I just came across those. I just found those kind of interesting. But yeah. You want to go over any standings or anything? Any surprises?
Yeah, let's take a look at the standings.
I want to go over that.
We had a talk at the start of the season about the Warriors, and we had very different opinions. It looks like you are more correct. However, the playoffs could certainly shake things up. Right now, the Warriors and the Lakers would play for the chance to be the eighth seed, which is pretty freaking insane when you think about it. The Thunder are first. The Timberwolves have dropped off a little bit, but that it was not at all expected. And yeah, the Grizzlies. So you sent me a headline, and I didn't say anything at the time, but it was, you know, the Blazers suck now.
Yeah.
And you were saying that their rebuild around Ayton was the reason. And it's, I don't think that's accurate. I think they wanted to get something for Dame, and that was the best they could get. It's more of Dame leaving why the Blazers suck, not because of Ayton, I think. I don't know. Yeah,
poor lonely
I know you're
Dame.
Anti-Ayton. What's that?
Poor lonely Dame, because he's all lonely in Milwaukee.
Now he's just sitting at home eating some Chef Boyardee, trying to figure out how to make friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
anything,
you don't think they're rebuilding around him? Do you think they're rebuilding around anything? Or do you just think they're collecting draft picks? What do you think they're doing?
I think they're collecting draft picks, and maybe they'll make some, trying to get a Tyson player during free agency. But
yeah.
I think you can't rebuild around Ayton. And if they're stupid, if they thought they could, Ayton is a piece player, and he's not like the second or third piece. He's like the fourth piece at best.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they saw something in him that the Suns didn't. So maybe they did think that he was going to be the rebuild piece, but he ended up not being it because he was a max player for the Suns. So maybe they're like, well, we'll get him for Lillard and that'll be something we could build around. But yeah, you don't want to build around
him. Exactly. It was something. It was something they could do. So, Real quick, I saw the Pelicans. Jose Alvarado did one of his classic hide behind.
Oh, he's still doing players that?
Install. Yeah, he's still doing that. So I think that's really funny. That always makes me laugh when I see it. Because it's like you don't ever expect it. And when it happens, it's like, that sneaky guy, he did it again.
I know. Right? So it's such great school stuff. And you just don't expect to see it in the NBA. And when he actually pulls it off, it's kind of funny.
It works, man. It is funny. Yeah.
Interesting. No, I'm going to have to look for that. I missed that one. The Spurs are eliminated, though. I saw that.
The Spurs are eliminated. Talk about a huge disappointment, right? I think we both talked about the Spurs would be better. If anything, they're worse than they were last year.
Yeah.
And that's just great. Like, Victor Wembanyama has shown some really good flashes, but the West is loaded and they're just, I don't know. They need more. They need more than what they got.
Here's the thing about that, though. They have a chance for another first round pick. What if they get two in a row and they get like a really good point guard that could feed Wembanyama or something like that?
Yeah.
And they can pick whoever they want. I mean, just two really big. I don't know who's really good right now, you know, in college, but
it's because you don't watch college.
Right. Yeah. Cool. I'm really hoping the Pistons will get another first round pick, but even though, you know, their first round pick isn't doing them much well, first round picks don't matter. That's all I'm saying.
First round picks matter, Ronnie.
No, they don't. Ayton, Wembanyama, last place. Well, the Detroit Pistons are in last place in the East. They had a first-round draft pick a few years ago. Doesn't matter.
Everyone has a first-round draft pick, but...
Who? No. Yeah, everyone... Okay.
Everyone.
First pick.
Shut your mouth.
First pick. You know what I'm talking about. You hear the names that I'm saying, Jonathan. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You'll get last place if you get first pick of the draft. You're doing research, aren't you? What are you looking at right now? Tell me.
I'm not looking up anything. Don't worry about it, Ronnie.
Yeah, you are. Just mind your business. You're trying to find the first pick that actually helped the team out.
No, I'm not.
Yep. What was it? Who was it?
I'm not doing that. I'm looking up something else for
you go back to like David Robinson or something like that.
David Robinson was a fantastic player. Probably Tim Duncan, right?
Yep.
Because they had David Robinson pretend to be hurt so they could get a better spot to draft Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
And then they came out gangbusters. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think it was immediate with Lon. Like, they didn't make the playoffs that next year, I don't think.
Right, yeah. It takes a while. I mean, it's kind of interesting how, the first draft picks, they have to go get traded to a team that is actually good to win a championship. God, that's kind of interesting. Now that I think about it, like, what first draft pick actually, like, helped their team out? Man, we'll have to research that one. I'll have to get back with you on that one. I can't think of any.
I'll be on the edge of my seat. So, real quick, looking at the standings in the East. So, the NBA has divisions for some reason. I don't understand why they have divisions. I think they should completely abolish divisions.
Yep.
But looking at the Southeast Division, which I just had open in a window... And now
Magic, Heat, Hawks, Hornets, Wizards.
Magic, Heat, Hawks, Hornets, and Wizards. Who do you think is going to win that division?
You know, I'm going to say Heat just because for the last 2 years I've been wrong with them. Yeah, and so I'm going to pick them just only for that reason.
Do you think the Hawks have a chance?
No, they suck. No, they're horrible this year. They're really bad.
What if I told you on Bovada, the odds of the Hawks winning that division are plus 30,000, meaning a dollar would win you $300.
I mean, I'd place a dollar on that.
Does that change your opinion?
I will place a dollar on that. Heck yeah.
So the Heat and the Magic are basically a tie to win that division, and the Hawks are like the huge underdog at plus 300,000.
Listen,
so.
this is why you place a dollar on it, because if someone from the Heat, if two major players get hurt on the Heat, which
Butler
has been happening a lot recently.
Get hurt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if they both go down?
Okay,
on Bovada, $1 would win you $300, not $30,000. The odds are plus
million 30. Dollars.
It's stupid. That's not true. Don't take Ronnie at his word. Check out BovadaSportsbook.com for all rules and stipulations and whatever those guys that talk really fast at the end of commercials say.
Smart.
but that's crazy to me. When I saw that, I was like, maybe. Because I did the same thing. I'm like, there's not a chance the Hawks will win. Oh, Well, shoot, for those odds.
Yeah.
How do you not take them? So.
Right. I mean, just, yeah, throw a dollar in there. Why not? I've heard some crazy bets of people winning those. Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
you should
know.
Actually parlay that with another one that's at the same.
No, don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. There we go. That'll be my odds. Atlanta Hawks win the Southeast Division, and Ben Simmons goes to the Raptors.
There you go. See?
Sweet payday.
Oh, my God. Yes, I want to do that so bad right now.
Oh, go do it. It's on Bovada. Check it out. That's all I got, Ronnie. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up this this episode?
Not really. I'm proud of Oklahoma City Thunder. Nuggets are looking good in second. How far do you think the Timberwolves are going to drop now that Cat's out?
They'll make the playoffs still, but they'll be out in the first round.
Okay. They're not going to be in like a play-in game or anything like that?
No, first round of the playoffs, they'll be out though? Yeah. They'll be a 1-6 seed. They won't drop that low.
Okay. What do you think's going on with the Clippers real quick?
Well, they're all going to get hurt as we move closer and closer.
It seems like all of a sudden they haven't been looking that great like they were. You know, they started to lose some games, and I don't know. Do you think they're going to be able to pull it together for the playoffs and actually win the conference finals like I predicted?
They haven't. You said they've started to lose some games.
There's a couple in there. Yeah, they lost against the Bucks.
They lost against the Bucks twice.
Yeah, so they can't beat them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they don't need to beat them in the West.
The loss against the Lakers, the loss against the Kings. So there's
some. But now you're going back. Yeah, you're going back a couple games.
Not too far, but they've won
more than they lost.
February, that wasn't a great month for them. You know, the end of February, I should say.
They're old, often injured, and the season is long.
Okay.
That's what's wrong with the Clippers.
Yep.
They'll be okay, but they're going to lose in the second round.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's all. I just had a question on those.
Suns. As of right now, they go against the Suns, which sucks because the Suns, for whatever reason, struggle against the Clippers.
Last year we beat them, though. Remember that?
Yeah, barely beat them.
Because Kawhi was out.
Yeah. If Kawhi would have been in,
Yeah, I hate seeing that. Yeah.
I hate seeing that, Ronnie. And I'm actually looking at last year's standings. So maybe we're not lined up against them. What an idiot I am. No, the Clippers would go against the Pelicans. We're safe. We're going against the Timberwolves. I like that.
Yeah. It seems like it could be in that direction, though, you know, the way things are working out.
I think you lose Russell Westbrook, who's not a huge piece, but it just anything that I feel like that team is built. It's like a Jenga block that's really, really fragile. And that could be the piece that just causes everything to topple.
Right.
It's a yearly tradition, right? The Clippers get hurt and fall apart in the playoffs. So
yeah, exactly.
We'll see it again happen this year.
All right. But yeah, that's all.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next time.
Yep. Thanks, guys.